Welcome to session five on being health, and now we're going to continue our session on ministering healing. You know, I just wonder how many people actually got healed of things in that last session. I just know the power of the word going out into your heart and mind right now is going to bring much healing and much deliverance to people as you just simply sit through this class and believe the greatness of God's word that's being taught. I often think of my old friend Victor Paul Werwell, who used to say, "What power we've got if we only knew it." How true for the believer. What power we've got if we only knew it, if we would just recognize the inheritance that's within us. And one more time, I'm just going to go over the great principle, which is God who is spirit. This is how gifts of healing works. It's how all the nine manifestations work. God, who is spirit, teaches his creation in you, which is now your spirit, and your spirit teaches your mind, and then it becomes manifested in the senses realm as you act. The dynamite is in there. The power is in there. The explosive healing of the power of God is in you, but you've got to light the match by your faith, by your believing that the faith of Jesus Christ is already on the inside. And go to Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. There was a beautiful woman who was a good woman, and people really loved her. She did many good works and was just loved by the fellowship. And it came to pass in Acts chapter 9, verse 37, it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. And when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near or nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping. And boy, when they wept in that culture, it was, la, 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 la. I mean, they wail, they scream. It's pretty upsetting, kind of. It's a little disconcerting to the Western mind. And they were showing him the coats and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth. He put them all forth. He put them all forth. And kneeled down and prayed. He kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up when he had called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. It brought glory to God. It brought glory to God. Many believed in the Lord. Look at the things that happened in this record. Many, many attributes on how to minister healing here. Sometimes you just need to put the unbelievers out of the room. You don't need that for God to work. You need it for you to work. Sometimes you just don't need that unbelief in the purview, the venue where you're working, because you know, it's just going to bring you down, because you're the one that has to get yourself in a mindset to minister like Jesus Christ. Then it says Peter prayed. People, you can always pray for the sick. You can always pray for the sick. But praying for the sick is not ministering healing. Praying for the sick is either to get your mind in alignment and harmony so you're believing to minister healing, or that prayer is to help the person about to receive to get their mind in the mindset of receiving their healing. Prayer for the sick can happen anytime, but prayer is not ministering. Ministering is when you command in the name of Jesus Christ for whatever to happen. Because once Peter prayed, this tells me he did two things. He got the unbelievers out of the room for his own mindset, and he prayed to get himself in the place where he was ready to believe to minister healing. Here he's got a dead woman laying in front of him. Here he's got a whole group of people downstairs depending on him to raise her from the dead. You think there's a little bit of mental pressure there? Yeah, there is, because we're human beings. But God has given us the wherewithal to rise above that and to do His will in spite of having to deal with the five senses. And then when He took care of business, I call it the preparation of the heart, He turning him to the body, the dead body, said, "Tabitha, arise," and she opened her eyes. That's the portion, that's the ministering of healing. Here you have both the prayer and the ministering. Peter prayed to build his believing. And he ministered healing when he spoke to the dead body, "Tabitha, arise." In the first part, the prayer got his heart in the right place, and then he ministered, or I call it, he spoke to the tree. He was sharp. He was right on. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11. And Jesus was entering into Jerusalem in verse 11. And and on the morrow when they were hungry, they came from Bethany. He was hungry. He saw a little fig tree and there was nothing on it. They used to have these little buds before the time they would bloom that were sweet like candy. He'd be having a little snack in the afternoon. And since there were no buds, he knew the tree wasn't going to produce any figs in the future. He knew it was just, you know, nothing to it that was not going to produce any fruit. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter." And the disciples heard it. What did Jesus do? He didn't beat around the bush. He spoke to the tree. "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter." What did Peter do to Tabitha? "Tabitha, arise." What did he do to the man at the gate? "I say to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He was teaching his disciples how to receive from God, how to minister healing, how to operate God's power. You speak to the problem. Too many of us still go to God, whining our problem to Him, rather than speaking to the problem, the power of God. God doesn't mind you making your request known. He wants you to make it known. But He wants you to make it known in a state of confident believing that He's going to deliver you from it. Not as a whiny, fearful person that it's not going to happen. Speaking to the problem in the authority. Because man, when they came out of the city the next day and they passed by, verse 20, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Miraculous. Died backwards. Trees die from the top down. And Peter called to remembrance and said unto him, "Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed or prayed against, it's withered away." He prayed against it. He spoke the will of God because it was an example about Jerusalem not producing fruit, Jerusalem rejecting the Messiah. It's a whole big thing I'm not going to get into right now. But here's the point for us today, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, man, here it is, "Have faith in God." You know what the translation of that is? Believe God. Yep, just like it says, believe God. Because if you do, if you say to that mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and you don't doubt it in your, where does it come from? Heart. "But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire according to God's word, when you pray, believe that you already have them, and you shall have them. Man. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to receive. You speak to the problem. You speak via word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. You command in God's authority, and you put that sickness under the blood, under the authority of Jesus Christ. You speak to that spiritual, physical, spiritual, or mental condition, and they must respond when the person believes. According to the accomplished work of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ within you, you release zousia. Jesus called it virtue. You release power from on high. That means supernatural power, energized, set loose by God, by your believing, operated by man. Look at Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. In verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Why? Because it's always the will of God to heal anyone who believes, believer or non-believer, believer or non-believer. It is God's will to heal when anyone believes. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Humble, humble, humble. Here's a Gentile receiving the things of God, humble man. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know why I love that right there? Because many times I minister healing over the phone, and people say, well, can you heal over the phone? Well, you sure can, because here Jesus isn't anywhere near the person that he healed, and he still healed him. And why did the centurion believe? Because he was an army person. He was a military guy. He knew when somebody in higher rank gave him authority, he had the absolute authority to speak what they had commanded. For I am a man under authority. This is how you minister healing, my friends. This is how you speak in tongues. This is how you give a right on interpretation prophecy. This is how you do miracles. Under authority. Under authority. Not in your authority, but your operation under his authority. You speak in that authority because it's given to you. You're under it. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard it, and he, what? He marveled. He marveled. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. You know, another time he marveled? When he couldn't do many mighty works in his own hometown, to the believers he marveled. It took his breath away that this Gentile believed more than most of his own people did. And who knows if this was not the centurion who was at the crucifixion who said, surely this was the Son of God. I believe in my heart it might have been. I don't know. But boy, wouldn't that just be awesome. Here's the deal, folks. It's the power in God's word. We speak it. We talk to the tree. We speak to the dead body. We speak to the disease. We speak to the burning. We speak to pain. We speak to headache. We speak to eyes. We don't analyze. We ascertain burning, itching, cancer, pain. You don't give a medical breakdown when you minister. You're not a doctor. You're a believer. You're a child of God. Jesus didn't give a medical report. He would say, eyes see, or ears heal, hear, or be healed. So we want to pray. We want to get ourselves in the right place. If we need to pray, sometimes you don't. You just, bam, you just minister. You know, when I walked up to that guy in that auditorium, there'd been plenty of prayer, plenty of word taught. All I did was walk up and receive. It took seconds. Right away, booms quick. We don't just pray, we minister gifts of healing. When you minister, it means that virtue or power goes out of you. And it goes from you into another. We're not going to turn there right now, but we'll see it in a minute. When Jesus ministered to the woman who had the issue of blood in the crowd, here he was in a crowd with people just pressing on him, and he knew virtue, power had left him. People, you can't heal by your five senses any more than you can speak in tongues and interpret by your five senses, which you can. It's impossible. To speak in tongues and interpret, you must be led by the Spirit. You must receive it from God. It's your operation of the God-given ability. So we cannot heal by our five senses. I've told you before the time of the man who was in the fellowship and his head was all bandaged and his hand was bandaged and so on and so forth. And at the end of fellowship, when I ministered healing, I said, does anybody want to be healed? And he sat there and raised his hand and I began praying for him. And what did my mind want to do? Pray for the head that was bandaged. Pray for the hand. I prayed for his legs. And I'm thinking as I'm ministering, wow, is this a counterfeit? What's going on here? And I said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the minute he stood up, tears came streaming down his face. And for the first time that night, I looked across the room and saw his crutches in the corner. This man was a competition skier, a competitive skier. And you know what was important to him, according to his faith? He didn't care about the cut on his head. He didn't care about the cut on his hand. He wanted his legs healed, and they got healed right away. Booms quick. Instantly, he stood up, and about 30 people in that room saw this great miracle happen in the sight of God. And how long do you think it took to increase the people coming to our fellowship, the people who were getting healed on a regular basis? It inspired believing in others. And you can say, well, Peg, and this is a valid question, what if you've been sick a long, long time? Well, the first thing I'm going to tell all of us is there is no ailment that you have that God cannot fix. And that when people have been sick a long time, they don't need condemnation. They need tenderness. They need love. They need compassion. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. My earliest childhood memory is being sick. I had pneumonia at 4 or 5 years old, and I had it repeatedly as a child. I've had it during my adult life. I've had other problems that have plagued me. It is definitely my Achilles heel. I'm not going to try to walk around like I'm perfect, like I'm Jesus on a stick, because I'm not. I'm a man subject to like passions, just like you are, like Paul. So I've had an opportunity to deal with receiving my healing from God multiple times. And I've been challenged with this all my life. But people, I am never going to settle and just say this is the way it has to be. I don't care how far down I get sometimes. I'm still going for the brass ring. I'm still going for the gold. I still know that I can be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm just, quote, foolish, filled with joy enough to know that I'm still going for what I call the Moses standard. Anybody who knows me knows my health issues, and yet here's my target. I'm going for the Moses standard. In Deuteronomy 34:7, it says Moses was 120 years old, and when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. I put my name in there when I read that. And Peg was 120 when she died, when she got ready to cash out her chips, and her eye was not dim nor her natural force abated. I don't care if I don't feel that way today. This is still my goal, because the truth of God's healing is not based on how I feel or whether I have received it or not received it. It is based on the truth of God's Word. It is available at any time, any place. I don't care how long you've been down. I think about the record of Abraham and God promising him a promised seed, an heir of God's choosing. Abraham did not believe for that promise when he was 65. He did not believe when he was 75. He did not believe when he was 85. He did not believe when he was 95. But guess what? When he was 99, he got fully persuaded and he received the promise of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at records of somebody who's been sick 38 years, somebody who's been sick 12 years, somebody who's been sick 30 years. And you know what? They're all going to get healed. There are only 9 records of healing in the Old Testament. There are 66 in the Gospels, which tells me that God wants us to know under the new covenant, He wants us healed. And as I said earlier, Sickness in itself is not sin, but it's a temptation to sin by blaming God for your condition. That would be sin. God wants you to know He's the God of hope. He's the God of deliverance. He's the God who sets a person free. It doesn't matter if you didn't believe for it yesterday, last year, or last month. He still wants you whole. W-H-O-L-E. Whole in every way. In John chapter 5, "And there now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda." And man, you know what the name Bethesda means? Mercy, 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 grace and mercy. That's why we have any of this stuff, people. "And it had five porches. And there lay a great multitude of impotent folks, mostly lame. They couldn't get up. They couldn't use their legs, impotent. Of blind, halt, withered, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water." Now, verse 4 is not in any of the critical Greek text. It was added about an angel going down to move the waters. But you know, it probably was a custom cultural thing that if the wind blew a certain way and you went down and the water moved, that you'd get healed. And you know what? If they believed, they were going to receive. Verse 5. You know, somebody told me one time, if you thought, you know, putting grease on your face would heal you, it would heal you if that's where your believing is. Verse 5. "And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity," here it is, 38 years. 38 years. Man, the first time I read this, I was 24, and it seemed like forever. And I'm reading it at 61, and it still seems like forever to have anything to plague you for 38 years. "And when Jesus saw him lying down there, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, one thing, wilt thou be made whole?" Man, after 38 years, Jesus only had one question for this beautiful man. Do you believe? Do you want to be healed? Man, after 38 years, Jesus didn't walk up and say, "Hey, buddy, how's your coffee pot? How's the weather? How about those nicks?" He asked the all-important question to this beautiful man, "Do you will?" It had been 38 years, and when Jesus asked this man, you know what he did? "Yes, Lord, I want to be healed." You know what he did? He immediately felt condemnation. And you know why I know that? Because he immediately started making excuses of why it had not happened to him yet. That's so, man, doesn't that break your heart? But that's what believers do sometimes. They say, "Well, I've had this for 6 months, or I've had this for 2 years, or I've had this since I was a child." Folks, God deals with all that. Don't get in condemnation. Get in your believing pattern. Get in your hope mode. Desperate people stay sick. Hopeful people get well. "And the impotent man answered Jesus, Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Somebody gets there before me. And Jesus didn't even deal with that condemnation in the man's heart. He just said to him, "Brother." He didn't say brother. I said brother. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." He spoke to the problem. He didn't say leg bone. He didn't say tendons. He didn't say this kind of muscle, that kind of muscle. He just looked at that poor man and said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." He spoke to the problem. Burning, itching, cancer, pain. Immediately the man was made whole. He was made whole. That means he was missing something. "And took up his bed and walked," and oh my gosh, "and the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for him to carry your bed." Here's the opposition, man. God barely gets it done, and the opposition's out there trying to tear it down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a fight to stay your mind. It's a fight to do the word in the midst of the sea of unbelief with which we're surrounded. It takes effort. It takes gumption. It takes discipline. It takes stick-to-itness. But most of all, it takes the power of God believed and believing that you have this power. It's at work within you to will and to do of God's good pleasure, which is for you to go about doing good and healing who? All that are oppressed of the devil. Freely you have received, freely what? Give. Go to Luke chapter 8, please. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood," it means that she hemorrhaged for 12 years. Wow. And not only did she have that physical ailment tearing her down, but here she had spent all her living on physicians, and she was none the better, neither could be healed of any. Look at that. Look at the emotional stress. Look at the physical stress. Here's this beautiful woman that had this issue of blood for 12 years. And not only had she had the blood issue, she had spent every penny she had on physicians, and she was flat broke. And she came behind him, and Jesus is in a crowd of people. He's in a throng of people. They're pressing on him. They're moving in. They're all around him. And she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. It stopped immediately, right away, because she had said in her heart, her believing was, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. You know, that believing, when I went to that man who spoke to me from that stage, my believing was, if I could get around a bunch of people believing, I'd get well. God works with you, folks. He works with you. For some people, it's like, hey, if I can get this person to pray with me and minister to me, it just, if I can just get myself quiet and go to God and claim the promise, I'll be healed. Immediately, the blood stopped, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him, they were shocked, saying, Master, the multitude throng you and press you, and you're saying, who touched you? I mean, you're being touched by dozens of people. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue. You know what the word virtue there is? Dunamis. Dunamis. Energized power of God. You know what that tells me? That every time you reach out to take your healing, God's already reached out to give it to you. He's already doing it from his end. You know what this record shows? He doesn't have to wop it up. It's there for the taking. Golly smokes. And Jesus said, I perceive that dunamis has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Woman, you're loosed. You're healed. Go in peace. Be of good comfort. This is our God, people. This is our God. This is the God who heals and delivers and never says no. Look at Acts chapter 3, please. Doesn't this stuff just bless your heart? Put yourself in these positions and see yourself being healed by the Master. See yourself receiving the healing from God Almighty, from the throne room, from the fountain of living water. And let's look at one in the New Testament in Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being about 3 p.m. You know what's interesting? This man had been lame from his mother's womb, so you know that Jesus walked by this man dozens of times when he went to the temple. Huh. Why didn't Jesus heal this man? Because a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, there's a place later that says he's of age, means this guy was around 30 at least. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily. He couldn't even walk there. They had to lay him there at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Again, Jesus must have passed by this man dozens of times, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. You think this man heard about Pentecost? Think this man heard about the speaking in tongues? Think this man heard about the power of God that was coursing through the city of Jerusalem by the power of Holy Spirit? Huh. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He was ready. He was ready to minister. Why? Because all the times Jesus went by, the man wasn't ready. The man was not ready to receive. You know what he was that day when Peter went up there? He was ready. He was ready to receive. And you know how Peter knew it? God showed Peter the green light. He showed Peter by revelation the man was ready to receive. Because that's why Peter looked at him and said, "Look on us." He got green light revelation. Peter just didn't decide in his mind, "I'm going to heal this guy this day. Jesus couldn't do it. I'm going to do it." Peter got revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. God showed Peter that man was ready that day when Peter and John were walking by at that moment. What got him ready? I bet you he heard the word. Doesn't say, but I bet you that's what it was. And you know what confirms that? The next verse confirms that Peter got green light revelation from God telling him the man was ready, because verse 5 says, "He, the lame man, gave heed unto them, expecting," prostakeo, "expecting to receive something from them." That's something, a much bigger word of expecting. He wasn't just expecting silver and gold. He was expecting something way bigger, prostakeo. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name and the authority of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Man, oh man, oh man. How blessed was that man that day? How blessed was that man that day? He received things created in his ankle bone and leapt and praised God. Jesus himself passed that way, but that man had not been ready to receive until the day that Peter and John were there. You know, what if Peter and John had stopped and thought in their mind and rationalized, "Well, you know, Jesus went by here many times. If Jesus couldn't heal this man, I sure can't." Nothing would have happened. And yet, my friends, here we have these wonderful promises of God. A man who was sick 38 years. A woman who had hemorrhaged for 12 years. The man at the temple missing a leg bone was at least 30 years of age. What if you've been sick a long, long time? Honey, all God wants to do is set you free. Set you free. Set you free. There's a place in one of the Gospels where a woman was bowed over. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed, because why should a child of Israel be bowed over by Satan all these many years?" God's will is always to heal, to heal, to heal, to heal. And Acts chapter 4, verse 16 says, "What shall we do unto these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Satan wants us to deny the power of God that dwells within us. And God wants us to embrace the power that's in us. God wants us to receive the healing within us. Go to Isaiah chapter 40, please. Isaiah chapter 40. Boy, don't you love this stuff. Man, don't you love this stuff. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 25 says, "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Nothing is equal to God. God is God. He alone is the creator of all life, and He alone can heal every aspect of life. Satan only kills, steals, and destroys. And only Jehovah Rapha, Elohim alone, creates and heals and blesses." Shall I be equal, said the Holy One of Israel? Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, he's talking about an issue of the heart. Behold, who has created these things, all things, that brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For God is so strong in power that not one fails. Verse 28, "Has thou not known? Has thou not heard?" Don't you know this, folks? Don't you believe this in your heart? That the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, it says that God measures out the universe in a span, the distance between his thumb and pinky finger. That's how big the universe is to God. "Has thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not? Neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding." I've heard people tell me, "Well, why should I go to God with this little thing? He's so busy." You know what that is? That's a fiery dart. He doesn't faint. He's omniscient. He's ready, willing, and able to love you 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. Fear not. He's ready, willing, and able. Why? Because he's already done it. It's just us reaching across through the bridge of Jesus Christ to bring into the senses realm what's already sitting there waiting for us in the spiritual. There's no searching of his understanding, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might. People, does this describe how you feel sometimes when you're sick? He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Because guess what? Even the youth is going to faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, Do you know what the word wait there is? It is a Hebrew word. It is a Hebrew word that means to bind together. Like you would braid together a braid of hair. And you know what that makes me think of? But they that weld, braid, or bind together with the Lord. You know what I see that as? The Spirit of God working in me. I see a DNA helix in my mind. I see the DNA, the strands coming together where the nature of the Christ within me, the Spirit of God, have welded together to bring to pass the impossible in the name, the authority of Jesus Christ. When we mix the truth of God's Word, we are braided together. We are bound together. We are interwoven in Him. He's all up inside us. His power is released all up inside of us. But they that bind together with the Lord, Man, here it is. Shall renew their strength. You know what the word renew there means? Change. It's like in the Greek word metanoeo. We change our strength. We change from our strength to His strength. People, this makes me want to cry. We finally get out of our strength and we finally step into Him. We finally step into His strength. 38 years, 12 years, 30 years, 6 months, 2 days. We finally get out of our strength. We change our strength. And you know what happens when we change our strength? That's when we mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh my goodness, just take this into your heart. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that bind together, believe in with the Lord, shall change their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In chapter 41, verse 10, God again speaking to His people, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Heavenly Father, I thank You everybody listening to this teaching right now is getting healed in some area of their life. Whether it is emotional healing, or blindness, or cancer, a missing limb, bowed over, mental stress, demonic power. God, I pray that people are getting healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. People are believing You in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ, that they are getting healed right now by the power of the Word believed in their heart. Right now, You are Jehovah Rapha. You have sent Your Son with healing in His wings. You sent Your Word and healed us and delivered us from all our destruction. Father, we claim with great tenderness and great love and great thanksgiving our healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Just put Your hands where You need to be healed right now. And thank God for healing you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.